Hello and welcome to episode 131 of Ready to Mosh. I'm Gem G, and with me, as always, the wizard to my witch, Mr. Gav P.
The wizard to your witch?
Yeah.
I've got the hair of a wizard, I suppose.
Bit of Gandalf in there, Gandalf the Grey.
Oh, no need for that. That was uncalled for.
Sorry.
Oh, just you wait for the next one.
So we've got another guest interview for you today. We are chatting with Wargrave, a band that we have seen a couple of times now, both times in Derby, and they are awesome live, so you should check them out if they're coming near you too. And Wargrave are releasing their debut EP on the 26th of April, which is tomorrow if you are listening to this on release day. We've already been able to have a pre-listen to it and can confirm it's very awesome, all five tracks. So make sure you check that out as well. And in the meantime, here's the interview. We've got another guest interview today. We've got Stuart, Trent and Steve from Wargrave. How are you doing, guys?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Thank you for joining us today. It's great to have you on. So if we start at the beginning then, if you want to just tell us a bit about how the band began.
That's you guys' response.
Is it me, is it? As you normally start with these things. So the band started kind of halfway through lockdown, really. So Stuart and myself have known each other for a very long time, since sort of, you know, we were 15, 16, and we're in a band together for almost 10 years back in the day. And then obviously that sort of, we sort of went separate ways for a while, and Trent then got into a band together for a little bit. And then during lockdown, Stuart kind of reached out to myself and Trent and said, look, do you want to just come to the rehearsal room and just have a muck around, because no one was doing anything. So I think we kind of jumped on it, and that was with another friend of ours on bass at the time. But we kind of realized quite quickly that, shit, this is actually sounding pretty good. And that was just sort of jamming on, you know, covers, like Megadeth covers and stuff like that. So we started writing. It was sounding really, really good. Unfortunately, our friend that was playing bass at the time didn't really want to do anything serious. So we then decided to kind of expand and get a real lineup that we could start sort of working with. And it kind of went from there, really. So we had a few kind of bass players come and go, as they do. And it seems to be the hardest position to fill in bands at the moment. And during that process, obviously, we then started looking for singers, and we kind of auditioned a few, and we had one person in the band for a little while to start off with, but it didn't quite work out. And then very, very fortunately, I think for us, we stumbled across Roman on Bandmix, and then Charlie sort of joined towards the sort of middle of last year. And then we've kind of ended up with the lineup that we've got now. So we're still a relatively young band in terms of life of the band. I think we've only been really going for kind of two years and a year kind of proper gigging. So we wanted to make sure that everything was as good as it could be before we kind of really put ourselves out there and put ourselves on stage and stuff like that. So we're still relatively new as a band, compared to some of the other bands that we're playing with at the moment that have been doing the circuit for a while. So that's kind of a very brief rundown the history of Wargrave.
Obviously, with a five piece, how does it work with kind of influences? Do you all have separate influences, or are you all kind of into the same style of music?
That's an interesting question. I can see Steve laughing already. I might take that one quickly. Myself and Charlie probably have more of the extreme heavy metal influences and experience, I guess. My background's a bit more death metal, black metal, that sort of style of stuff. And I've been in and out of bands doing that in Australia for a fair few years. Charlie's a bit the same, but Charlie even goes the other way a bit to sort of blues and soul and that sort of stuff. But I think for Stuart, Steve and Roman, there's a real glue on just old school heavy metal. So correct me if I'm wrong, guys, but you know, it's the Maidens, it's the Priests, it's the Testaments and the Megadeths and all that sort of thing. And I think between the five of us, the common ground is good old school good songwriting, melodic 80s, 90s heavy metal, call it whatever genre, subgenre you want. But the stuff we grew up listening to has just got such a commonality between all five of us, and then we really click on those parts, and that's kind of really what you hear in the music together. So yeah, wide range on the spectrum, but a pretty big commonality in the middle.
Yeah.
And when it comes to your songwriting, what's your process for that? Do you kind of write the lyrics first or the music?
Well, I've written quite a lot of the songs so far. I usually write the music first, and I've only written a couple of sets of lyrics for two of our songs. So I'll do the lyrics second and the vocals second. But now, basically, since Roman's coming to the band, I'm just writing music mostly, and Roman's adding his vocal melodies and lyrics after we've written the song in the studio, in the rehearsal studio. Trent also writes songs, a couple of songs as well. So.
Yeah, I was just going to just expand a little bit. We generally bring a fairly completed song to the rehearsal room, and we work it out from there. Either myself or Stuart will bring a fairly end-to-end song pretty much there, and we'll flesh it out, and there might be slight changes in arrangement and melodies and stuff like that, but it's largely there. For me, just personally, writing songs for Wargrave has been a cool experience for me, because I've never written music for clean vocals until I joined Wargrave. So it's been really cool to kind of, yeah, wind down a bit and write choruses and write verses that have just got heaps of space for clean vocals, you know, in that high register harmonies and that sort of thing. And I'm really enjoying kind of jamming a bit more simply and giving Roman the space to sort of do his thing. So that's sort of generally how it works. You can hear a bit of I've written kind of two of the songs out of the repertoire we have. Stuart's generally done the rest, but you can kind of hear what's cool about it is even between our songwriting sort of styles, it's still Wargrave overall, which is really cool. And I think that's a combination of just being on the same page with everyone, being synced in together.
We've seen you guys a couple of times now, most recently this Saturday at Metro Fest. How was the show for you?
Good. It was good. I think we were all a little bit tired when we first arrived because we'd just done Birmingham the day before, but it was a good experience. Neil from UK Thrashers is an absolute legend, isn't he? I mean, the organisation behind Saturday, the lineup that he put on, you know, if it wasn't really for Neil, I don't think it would have been half the day that it was. So I've got to give Neil a massive, massive shout out for all the organizing and everything that went into it. But no, it was good for us. It was a good experience. We've played the Hairy Dog twice, and we've had a positive experience both times. The venue's great, the staff are great, the sound is amazing, the stage is amazing. You know, it's the kind of stage really that we want to see ourselves on more regularly. Yeah. So no, it was really good for us. We felt like we had a really good show. So we came off happy. The audience seemed very happy. That's all you can ask for, really.
How do you prepare for a live show?
which one of the band are you asking?
All of you.
It's a mental thing for me. If I'm nervous or I feel out of practice in my head, I don't. So for me, it's a bit more about just being, might sound a bit fluffy, but just being a bit calibrated, just getting the confidence back and making sure I've given myself a good 25 minutes of warming up before I play. It's just becoming a bit mandatory for me. It just gets me back in the mode of dexterity and knowing where I'm at, because, you know, Stuart and I have some pretty serious guitar parts that need to be delivered properly live. And, you know, we're always trying to obviously deliver that consistently. So, yeah, for me, it's just maintaining a bit of health and just being a bit prepared. But having said that, funnily enough, I think some of the best gigs we've had are ones off the back of maybe a bit of a heavier night than normal or off the back of another gig the night before. So it's a mix. But, yeah, that's kind of a bit more my side than the other guys, if you want to.
Yeah. I think if you sort of look a bit deeper into it, obviously we make sure that we rehearse in the rehearsal rooms. We'll make sure that we have practice, you know, at least sort of 3-4 days before we've got a gig coming up, to make sure that we can go through the set list a good couple of times in the rehearsal room, make sure that we're happy with tempos, even though I tend to speed them up slightly playing live compared to what they are in the practice room. But I think that's just the drummer thing.
But yeah, it's just the rehearsal side of things, I think. And then when we're at the venue, it's more sort of G-ing each other up. We tend to not take ourselves too seriously. So we have a really good laugh backstage. I think Roman posted a story on our Instagram post literally like 5 minutes before we went on Saturday. And it was just us having a laugh with each other. And that kind of helps to sort of get rid of any sort of, you know, pre-show nerves and stuff like that. And if we go onto the stage with a smile on our faces, then we know that we're going to deliver a good show. So it's just about making sure that everybody's comfortable and ready, and we're not taking ourselves too seriously with this. We want to go on stage and we want to have fun, and we want to make people smile seeing us smile and having a good time. So yeah,
we were playing pool like an hour before the other day, weren't we?
Yeah,
about five or six games of pool before it, so that loosened me up.
And the artwork for the band is absolutely incredible. Who designs all of that?
So that is an artist that we found through Instagram. Funnily enough, his tag is Speedhaw on Instagram. He is based in Indonesia, and he is incredible. Like, I have to say, like, it's an absolute pleasure to work with the guy. He's done every single cover that we've got. So from the System single artwork, DMT, Witch, and Wargrave, the EP artwork. And he literally will just take a concept that we give him and we just let him run with it. So for the EP artwork, Stuart really wanted to have artwork that had references to every track that's on the EP. We had no idea how this was going to work. It was just an idea. Everyone said, yeah, if he can make it work, that'd be really cool. And we literally just gave him a very brief description of what each song was about. And he came up with that artwork, which I think we were all extremely blown away when we got the EP artwork through. With Witch, we kind of had more of an idea of what we were looking for with that one. So we actually found and purchased an AI generated a piece of artwork that we liked, that we thought would work really well, and we gave that to him and said, this is the kind of thing we want, but we want you to do you for us with that. And again, the artwork he came out for Wit was just incredible as well. So yeah, we're really happy, and we will definitely continue to use him moving forward to have that consistency, you know, on our journey through.
Right, first part of the serious questions over. So we're going to move on to the quickfire now. So 8 random questions. Just go with whatever comes into your head. And we will start off with, what has been your most random touring kind of gig incident?
So at the Fighting Cocks, I'm going to take this one. Sorry, Trent. At the Fighting Cocks, when we first started out, I don't know if I can use this kind of language, but Roman introduced Trent as a ginger C word, and the whole crowd then started chanting ginger C word back at Trent over and over and over again.
which I condone. I love that stuff. I'm not precious. That was a pretty cool little time. That's a fair one, Steve. I almost forgot about that, yeah. To be fair.
What's your favourite pie?
Steak and ale for me.
I'd go with a fish pie.
We've never had a fish pie before.
Yeah, you can do it. You can do it. It's like, it's kind of like a seafood chowder into a pie. Sometimes.
No, I mean, nobody's ever answered with seafood pie before.
It's because he's Australian.
Yeah. What are you saying? What pie are you having, mate?
I'm going to be clever and say Jonathan pie.
Not at that either.
Not at that either, yeah.
No, chicken pie. You know, can't go wrong.
What was the last song you listened to?
Oh, God.
Check the old Spotify. What was the last track that's...
Highway to the Danger Zone, and there's a reason for that.
Okay.
The same.
Ooh. That gives you a clue of what the reason might be.
Yeah.
Mine, funnily enough, was the Ghostbusters. Banger. Absolute banger, that one.
What are your favourite crisps?
Do you know what's really funny? I'll just jump in really quick. These might not be my favourite, but these are literally sat on my table right now.
Oh, so Munch.
We've got Monster Munch and sweet
chili kettle with them. So they're probably up there for me.
Yeah, pickled onion Monster Munch for me, 100%.
the cheese and onion Pringle.
The Monster Munch seems to be coming up quite a lot now, especially the pickled onion one.
Everyone was speaking, we ask the crisp question too. So we're going to do a poll at the end of the year, and I think Monster Munch are definitely winning.
If they make me sweat if I eat too many of them.
Next question. Do you have a hidden talent?
Many.
No, I don't think so.
Of course you have seen many. Oh, we've got to say what they are. I don't know
about the hidden talent.
Playing pool.
Trent's really good at salsa dancing.
Bachata, not salsa.
It's
a bit of a hidden talent, to be fair. Dancing for me is probably up there. It's a fair shout.
Quite the mover.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, he is. Not a little bit.
Yeah, very much so. Went into it. Sometimes he puts up videos when he's drunk.
Yeah, I do.
What's the worst job that you've ever had?
Working the deli counter at Safeways when I was younger.
I remember that. I used to come in and say hello.
Yeah.
I had a similar one. My first job was cleaning up the meat department in a supermarket. That was my 3-hour after school job for a while. It was pretty brutal, but I kind of didn't mind it because I didn't have to deal with anyone. I just got locked in the room to clean up and then leave. So it wasn't really customer service. It was just clean the blood off the wall sort of deal. It was pretty gross, but I didn't mind.
I've got two, actually. Cleaning up vomit in a cinema, which was the last straw before I left. And another one when I was doing odds and ends, and I had to hacksaw a metal fence. And when I hacksawed through it, hundreds of earwigs just fell out the middle of it. That was quite a shit job. So
I think you take the cake there, Stuart. Fucking hell.
Bringing back memories. You know
what I mean? What would you put into room 101?
Simon Cowell.
What's room 101?
It's like a room that things get locked in and they can't escape, basically. It's like just discarding something forever.
Okay. I'm a cow.
Licorice.
Random.
Rubbish. This is rubberish.
Don't know. Probably most of mankind, really. But I'll skip that one.
Right, final quickfire question then is, if you could be in any other band, what would it be?
Megadeth.
Go on, Trent.
Right now?
Any band in time?
Probably either like Septic Flesh or Dimmu Borgir, someone who tours with like orchestra and does that orchestral death metal, black metal.
I, do you know what? I wouldn't. I know that's a bit of a answer, but I genuinely wouldn't. I absolutely love this band. I couldn't ever imagine myself playing for anyone else, to be honest with you, famous or not famous.
What a beautiful sentiment.
Yeah, fuck you guys.
Right, back to the more normal questions then. So your new EP is going to be released on the 26th of April. Which will be tomorrow when this episode goes out. So what was the inspiration behind the EP?
2 years of hard work, to be honest with you. It's, again, like Trent said, it's drawing inspiration from a lot of different places. So we've all got different main influences, but they all kind of tie in together. I think it was more, not for me, not so much inspiration, but timing. We had the first two singles out, which we kind of rushed out, if I'm honest with you, with System and Discovering My Truth, because a lot of people at the time were like, where can we hear your music? And we didn't have anything because we were still very, very new. So we kind of rushed those out. And I think with this one, it was more a timing thing of, okay, we've got this material. We're really, really happy with what we've got. It was sounding great because we'd spent a year on the road playing it and rehearsing it and getting it as tight as possible. And we just felt, okay, this is the right time now to go into the studio and get this on record and sort of get it out there and see what people think and give people and fans or whatever you want to call them sort of their first taste of what we really are as a band. So it was more kind of a timing thing, I guess, than a than an inspiration thing for me anyway.
Yeah, I'd echo that. It's, I think for me anyway, personally, it's just about capturing what we're all about from day one kind of thing. The songs on the EP are, you know, we feel really, really top-notch songwriting, and each song's got something about it that really appealed to the listener. So it was just about compiling those together and taking the time to record them well and produce them as best we could on the, you know, the time and budget we had to do it. So I think the EP really represents the inauguration of the band, you know, as a five piece, really putting that stamp, that color, that flavor on. But I think it really reflects that, at least for me anyway.
How did the collaboration with Tim Owens come around?
I guess I need to take this because Roman's not there, not here even. So Roman was flicking through Instagram, and on Ripper's stories was a little thing saying, I've got time in between tours with KK Priest, who wants to work with me, basically. Roman, like a little school girl, jumped on the phone to me and was like, oh my God, Ripper's saying that he wants to work with people. Like, what do you think? And both myself and Roman, and this is where the sort of influences and musical differences between the band sort of comes in. So I'm a huge Iced Earth fan as well as Priest, but the Ripper side of Priest, I also really like Beyond Fear, which was one of Ripper's bands. I think they only did one album. So I was like, oh my God, this is going to be amazing. Like, we should totally do that. What a great idea. Roman then put it to the guys that took a little bit more persuading than I did, I think, to say the least. He then just literally reached out through email, and Tim responded, and the rest is history, really.
It's insane that just one little thing like that could actually lead to it.
Yeah, I think a lot of people have this sort of opinion of, you know, your famous musicians, that they're unreachable or uncontactable. But the truth of the matter is the bus at our level, we never try these things. You know, sometimes it literally can be just as simple as sending an email. And I think the one of the main reasons that we managed to get this to go ahead is because we discussed it as a band, and we had a track that we were like, actually, this particular song with which, and the vocal melodies and stuff that Roman had written to the music would really suit his vocal. So it wasn't like we were reaching out to someone and just saying, oh yeah, can you do like a line on this track that we've randomly recorded? You know, we really thought about it. We wanted to make sure that if we were going to ask him, that it was going to add something to our music and bring something and bring a different edge to it. So I think going to him and saying, look, we've got this track written, and we think that it'd be a great track for you to be on, and we'd really like you to do these sections. You know, he's got quite big sections of the song for a collaboration. So I think that kind of really helped with that. But again, you know, a lot of people think that these kinds of artists are unreachable. And, you know, at the end of the day, if you don't ask, you don't get. So yeah, it's all worked out for the best, I think, because it's an absolute, I think it's an absolutely stonking track. So
we absolutely love it. So
thank you.
It does kind of pull, like you say, it gives a different edge to it. So there's a different dynamic there.
Yeah, 100%. I think the nice thing for us is because it's that similar sort of vocal style on the record, you can clearly hear that Ripper's on the track. But when we do it live, it still really stands on its own. You know, Roman does a fantastic job delivering the vocal as it would have been delivered if we were just to record it ourselves without that collab. So that was another thing that we kind of discussed quite heavily before going down this route is, you know, are we going to be able to do it, you know, perform it live and be able to translate what's on the record to on stage? Because that's, again, a big part of what we do, is we really want the listener to be able to go home and put the CD on and be like, holy shit, that is, you know, that is what the guys actually sound like on stage. So,
and you've got an amazing video for the Wargrave single. Who came up with the idea for that?
Go on, Sue.
I can't remember. Was it me?
So location-wise, so Stuart was Stuart was very much adamant, I'd say in a nice way, that Wargraves needed a proper music video. And this was pretty much from day one when we first kind of started writing this song. The story behind it, the way that the song moves, you know, it's got a real beginning, middle and end to the song. It's not a traditional sort of verse, chorus, verse, bridge, chorus, end, you know. So Stuart was very adamant, I think, from the get-go, weren't you, Stu, that you wanted a proper music video for Wargraves?
Yeah.
Obviously, then the discussions started. What are we going to do? How are we going to do it? Stuart came up with the idea of, have we looked at going to an airsoft or paintballing venue? Because we'd looked at a few different venues, like, you know, Reigate Fort, which is an old World War One armory fort that's just in the countryside. You know, we even looked at HMS Belfast at one point. So, you know, it was looking at different venues, different locations. Nothing was really hitting the mark. Stuart came up with the idea of paintballing or airsoft venue. We reached out to an airsoft venue just outside Crawley, and it just made sense when we saw the pictures of the location, the vehicles that they had there. It just made sense. And go on.
Sorry, can I just add really quickly, if you get your hands on the CD, on the inlay, there's a couple of photos from behind the scenes of that day. And I think I speak on behalf of everyone that we were 13, 14-year-old boys there. Like, we're in out of, like, decommissioned helicopters, playing with, like, flamethrowers and decommissioned guns and stuff. It was, like, possibly one of the best days ever. Like, do you know what I mean? From, like a human point of view as well. So we had this awesome mix of, like, doing a good job and performing for the video, but also, like, hanging out as a band in a really cool place, you know, in the dead of winter or outside. Playing with guns and stuff, do you know what I mean? Like, it was just hilarious in that way. So it was a really special day as well. We tried to capture a little bit of that on the.
We had the wheel, like the equipment, through mud, like it was World War One or something. Like, it was like half a mile from the entrance.
Yeah, it took me about 5 days to clean my drum kit properly after that recording session. It was raining, it was wet, it was cold, it was windy, but it was absolutely fantastic. And I don't think we'd have had it any other way. So, but around that time as well, when we were looking at the venue, yeah, there you go.
Excellent.
Around that time, we were actually contacted through Facebook by the videographer that had filmed it for us, a guy called Ricardo, his company's got, I think it's called Ricardo Media. And he just said, look, it's winter, I'm really quiet, I've seen your stuff on social media, I'd really like to work with you. Here's a link to my showreel. And we were all like, holy shit, this guy's really good. So messaged him back, was like, okay, yeah, we'd like to work with you. He did us a really good deal because it was in the middle of winter, but he'd literally just flown back from doing a live video shoot for Good Charlotte in Los Angeles.
Wow.
So, you know, for him, that must have been a little bit of a shock to come from Los Angeles doing Good Charlotte to a muddy field in the pouring rain in Crawley for us. But he did a great job, and we're really chuffed with the video and how it turned out. I got the edited footage back from Ricardo, and then I sat at home and added all the war footage and everything to it on my end, just to break up the footage a little bit, because at the time it was just a bit too constant of the video of just us playing.
Yeah.
So we took the decision, and I added some of that. I added all of that war footage to the video, and then added the final audio to it once we got that back from our good friend Charlie at Monolith Studios. And then, yeah, the rest is history with that, really. But I think we're all really, really, really chuffed with how the video turned out.
And today's the 18th, so are you ready for the EP launch show on the 19th?
Yes, I should hope so.
I'm buzzing. Absolutely buzzing. I cannot wait.
Yeah, the last time we played there was excellent, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was pretty packed the last time we were there in February with Fracture Point. That was a really, really good gig. We enjoyed that. We liked the dev. It's got a really good atmosphere. And again, the staff are great. We were really keen to do the EP launch at a venue that was a free entry venue. We want to be as accessible to as many people as possible. So I think also it's been so much going on around the EP and the launch and organizing stuff and getting the artwork sorted out and getting the CDs produced and getting the t-shirts produced. And there's been a lot going on behind the scenes that a lot of people don't see. So I think having it at the dev free entry gig, it just took some of the pressure off of having to sell tickets for it as well as everything else that was going on. And we could just concentrate on advertising it and getting the word around. And I was actually really, really, really keen to put a old school traditional metal lineup together for that show, which luckily, with the help of Neil again from UK Thrashers, we've managed to do. So we've got Levy opening the night. They're a two-piece sort of heavy rock band, again, but clean vocals, really nice guys. Morton, who's sort of the main guy from Levy, he's part of the London Metal Coalition as well, but he's a great guy. They're a good band, lots of energy. So that's going to be a great opener. And then we've got Cardinal X, which are your old school heavy metal rockers, you know, part of the old guard, really experienced, got some great songs. They sort of kick off the metal side of it. And then we've got Iridium, who Neil helped us book. They're coming over from Norwich again. Very sort of similar style. I think they're a bit more sort of Metallica sort of based than sort of we are. But again, it's that old school clean vocals, thrash elements in there. And then obviously we hopefully will go on and absolutely smash it. So it should be a really good night of old school traditional metal.
And then looking ahead to the rest of the year, then we know that you've got a gig coming up in Mansfield in September, but what else have you got kind of planned for the rest of the year?
Well, I made the decision to fuck off for 4 weeks back to Australia in June. So there's a little chunk out of the calendar. The guys will be doing some stuff in the rehearsal more than anything else. But I think we're still working through planning what July, August, September sort of looks like for us. You're talking to Neil and his guidance as well. It's a funny old time of year to plan for because you obviously have the summer European festival circuit. Obviously, that draws a huge amount of the audience to certain places in Europe. And so it's a bit hit and miss in terms of what you can promote and plan.
Yeah.
So we're kind of navigating still through those months at the moment.
Well, we're going to be picking up the gigs late June. So Colville Metal Invasion, I think we will mind playing that. The Dev in Camden as well, played Jim. And Bristol, is that right, Steve?
Yeah, so we've got, they haven't announced Bristol just yet, but we're playing the Black Heart literally the day after Trent gets from Australia.
Oh, yeah.
yeah, so that'll be interesting. We've got the Colville Metal Invasion Festival that we're playing. We are...
And then in Bristol, the week after.
We've been asked to... be main support for Crossfire when they come over and do their sort of weekend run of shows in Bristol at the Griffin.
Oh, fantastic.
We are, I know Roman is in, actually, I think traveling back from Poland tonight, but Roman's been in talks about us. Potentially, we might be getting a slot for Poland Rock, which is one of the biggest European rock metal festivals. I think it's like a 5-day event and it's completely free. So they have hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people going to that.
Very
early stages, but yeah, he's sort of trying to organize that for us. And then pretty much we're looking, you know, August again, like we said, it's a bit of an awkward time with festivals. We've got everything crossed that we'll get the call for Bloodstock, but I think we've got everything kind of crossed for that. I'm not sure if that'll happen just yet, but and then there'll be some weekend runs sort of September, October is where we're kind of similar to Imperium. We'll kind of start hitting up the EP tour a bit later after it's come out, so people have time to sort of digest it and listen to it and be more familiar of what's on the record. And then sort of September, October time, I think, is when we'll really start hitting the sort of weekend runs of gigs and stuff like that. And then back into the recording studio again, I guess.
Cycle repeat.
Yeah.
So have you got new music kind of like in the back of your mind already about things you want to kind of work on next?
Yeah, we're working on a couple of new songs already. And there's loads of material in the background from multiple band members. So we don't have any problem writing the stuff.
No, and we'll use the time that Trent's back in Australia to start getting a lot of the new stuff sort of down and ready for when Trent comes back. So the rest of the band will have songs done, and then Trent will kind of fit in to that when he gets back. So we're always working. We're never stopping. We're always moving.
Well, Stuart, Trent, Steve, thank you very much for joining us tonight. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you very much.
Cheers.
And we are really looking forward to seeing you guys again. And we've already got tickets for the show in Mansfield, so we will be there for that. And we'll see you soon, guys.
Cheers, guys. Thank you so much.
Cheers.
Well, we hope you enjoyed that episode. Try and get to see Wargrave if any of their shows are near you. Have a listen to the new EP as well, which is out tomorrow as this is release date. And don't forget to check out their socials. Probably easier to go to Linktree and look for Wargrave Official. You'll be able to find all the relevant links on there. And speaking of socials, don't forget to check out ours. You can find us on Instagram, Threads, and X at Ready to Mosh Cast. We're also on Facebook, TikTok, and YouTube at Ready to Mosh. We've also got our Patreon on there, which is just £3 a month. And for that, you get access to the bloopers that never make it into the show, of which there are many. Early access to episodes wherever possible, and you can find out what we've got planned for the following month before anybody else. And finally, you can support the podcast for free by giving us a 5-star rating and a nice little review on whichever platform you're listening to, and we'll be back soon with another episode.
Make it mosh, Moog.